107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. In the wake of the assassination attempt on former President Trump, members of the local SWAT team are speaking out to ABC News about a lack of interagency communication that further complicated the response to the attack. Beaver County, Pennsylvania officials telling ABC's Aaron Katursky.
You had no communication with the Secret Service at all on that Saturday.
No, not until after the shooting, I believe. Yeah.
And by then?
It was too late.
The full interview to run today on Good Morning America. Venezuela's National Electoral Council, controlled by President Nicolas Maduro, has declared him winner of Sunday's presidential election. The country's opposition says it won. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. has serious concerns about the balloting in Venezuela. Mass shooting in a park in Rochester, New York. 7 people hit by gunfire, 1 killed, the others all hospitalized. Police report no arrests. This is ABC News. A new study suggests a more accurate way to detect the most common form of dementia.
New drugs to treat Alzheimer's require early detection, and that can be difficult in a doctor's office relying only on symptoms or a cognitive exam. Swedish researchers reported a blood test was 91% accurate compared to 61% accuracy in a primary care visit. Blood tests measure biomarkers that cause Alzheimer's. Several companies are seeking FDA approval for their tests. For now, the Alzheimer's Association said doctors should use blood tests only in people with memory problems. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Watch the sky. The Southern Delta Aquarian meteor shower is about to peak. It happens Tuesday morning with 15 to 20 meteors visible per hour under dark skies in the northern hemisphere. This coincides with the Alpha Capricornid meteor shower, around 5 meteors per hour and lasting through August 15th. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to dispel a credit myth. A NerdWallet survey found that more than 46% of Americans think that carrying a monthly balance on your credit card helps your credit score. This is so not true. Carrying a monthly balance on your credit card does not help your credit score. Here's what does. Number one, use credit cards. Number two, don't charge more than 30% of your credit limit in any given month. Number three, pay the card off on time and in full every month. That will help you get a good to great credit score. Carrying a small balance won't hurt your score if you're paying the minimum every month. But by carrying a balance, you're also going to be paying a lot in interest. And that is why this is a myth that credit card companies don't work too hard to dispel, because it makes them some money. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Saturday night, everybody. Welcome to Max Inc. on Civic Media, original local music from Wisconsin. It is time for Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. Powered by First Weber, sell or buy your next home right now at movetomadison.com. And also sponsored by the Lazy Oaf Lounge. Handcrafted food, live music, karaoke, and trivia. Visit them today on Madison's northeast side or check out their website at lazyoaflounge.com.
Jimmy, it's time for Live in the Lair with Mojo Perry. And Mojo Perry is a profound figure in the underground music scene, captivating audiences with his exceptional guitar skills and soulful compositions. Over the course of 20 years, he has released 9 albums of seamlessly blended blues-infused psychedelic rock, and Perry is renowned for his distinctive sound and evocative guitar tones. But 10 years ago, Mojo Perry encountered a profound challenge as he found himself as one of the countless victims of America's opioid endemic. Embarking on a journey towards recovery and self-discovery, Mojo Perry is a story of triumph over adversity and a comeback in music with a story to tell and songs to write. Mojo Perry, welcome to Max Inc. Radio.
Thank you, guys. I am so honored to be here. You have no idea.
It's been a hot minute since I've seen you, man. Yeah. It's been a couple of years, but you look great.
Thank you.
That's
Jimmy,
awesome.
Jimmy was saying something and he thought you appeared on the show at some point before. Was it?
I thought maybe not this one, but I think he might have joined us either at WSUM or perhaps at the Whisk over there in the one of the Jimmy K shows.
I believe it was the Whisk.
Whisko.
WSUM does ring a bell as well.
Oh. So you're always saying no, Jimmy.
A couple.
It's been a while. It's great to see you again.
Likewise, I was so happy when I saw that you guys were here. It just made me feel warm and welcome. You guys rock, man.
Well, thanks. Well, you know, before we find out about who Mojo Perry is, let's hear a song, okay?
Yeah, okay.
The first song you have for us tonight, it's called The Story Song. It's your most popular song. Tell us about this song before you play it.
Well, you know, when I first wrote it, I was, like a lot of artists, I was a kid. And I just had this melody, and I love working in that waltz, that 6/8 time, and it just kind of fit perfectly. And originally, it was called the Telephone Song. you know, tell you how much younger I was when I wrote it, and then eventually, I started writing it differently, and it evolved and evolved, and it just got to be this really special thing that every time we perform it, in fact, we'll play it at Atwood Fest, which we'll talk about later.
Okay.
Right, and it's just one of my personal favorites. Stories end and stories come, stories go, right?
It's a great way to kick off the night with Mojo Perry live in the lair. If you want to call and ask questions, you can do that right now. Mojo would love to say hi to you. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Call or text from the Civic Media app. You're live in the lair with Mojo Perry.
Johnny Boy Blue, everyone yelled and he picked on a little fool. So he shut himself from the world, all he left was his guitar. Happiness is as happiness does. What really matters is how we all try to live our life. Whether we win or lose doesn't even really matter. The end of the story is true and blue, that little boy. boy became famous for how he played his box guitar. And it's funny how we are taught to think about each other.
Mojo Perry live in the lair here on Max Inc. on Civic Media. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Call or text us from the Civic Media app.
Now, Mojo Perry, your deep-rooted passion for guitar, it starts at 5 years old.
Way back, late bloomer.
Tell us your backstory. How did you get into music?
I was really close with my mom before she passed, and I of course, ask a lot of questions like a lot of adults do. And my mom told me that when I was five, she came home from visiting her relatives in Ohio. And all I remember seeing was this head of a guitar case come through the door. Now, I hadn't seen my mom in over like a couple weeks. You know, I grabbed that guitar and I took off with it. And, my mom said that from that point on, to any time she wanted to know where I was, she just had to stop and listen. And then she'd find me. And that went on right up until I left the door. So,
wow.
Did your parents play music, or did they push you toward playing music? What kind of influence did they have?
Mom was a concert pianist, and she could sight read. I used to sit at the end of the hallway in mornings on weekends and just listen to her play. Oh, it's amazing. Bach, Mozart, all of it. She's amazing.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Now, how old were you when you started performing live?
I had a teacher in school that was, and of course, this is in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan. So quick shout out to Houghton, Michigan. All right, all my Upers, right? Uper love. Right?
Okay, that's in the Upper Peninsula?
Where in the UP is that?
Well, that is about less than an hour shy of No More Land. You go up north, way up into that UPA, God's area code is 906. Yep, that is. I do this thing with my hand here. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
See? I'm up here. Yeah. There's no thumb.
You're far northern. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, Uper. Okay. 220 inches of snow a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Land of ice and snow, Robert Plant says.
So how old were you when you started performing live?
I was 14 when I did my first classroom. I'd bring my guitar to school. It's how much I played.
Wow.
And it really just was such a big part of my life. I think even to this day, my classmates that I bump into, they say that was always a part of my identity. So really, I don't have any memories of it not being prolific in my life.
So you knew you were going to be a musician?
Yeah, yeah. There was no choice in the matter. It just was a natural course of events, yeah.
So. It's amazing how that works out. So you like you said, you started out in the UP.
Yeah.
You moved to Milwaukee for a little bit, right?
Yeah, I lived in Milwaukee, Chicago.
What was that? What was like big going from the UP to Milwaukee or Chicago?
I went to
that,
Chicago, yeah.
What was that like for you?
Well, it was one of them things where, like, it was, looking back on it, I was insane.
It had to be culture shock. I mean, going from the UP to a big city like that.
Right. I had never been more excited. And I wrote this very, in my book, it came out, I got this piece called The Hug. And I wrote it that morning before I got on a plane to leave out of Marquette, Michigan. And when I got to Chicago, I knew one person, and that was the person who invited me to come live with them. And I went there and showed up with my guitar. And O'Hare Airport, I had never been anywhere that big ever in my life. And
wow.
Like an idiot, I said, I'm not going home.
And O'Hare's crazy.
I ripped my ticket in half, my really? Trip. So, and I toughed it out.
That's crazy.
But you know, you grow up real fast in that environment. You just become a different person, and I adapted to it. I always had this thing if I can deal with all that snow and driving and all that crap, I can handle Chicago.
And then you came to Madison. What drew you to Madison here?
You know, and I never really spent time here. And so when I wanted to focus on my health, you know, I wanted to go someplace where I knew that I was comfortable. And I had people here that I wanted to be near. And that's how I wound up here. And it was really kind of as simple as that. I was ready for a change. I wanted to get rid of my environment where I was at the time. Just a change, you know?
How long did it take for you to fall in love with Madison?
Well, about 15 minutes, you know? You know? Yeah, you learn really fast about how good a city is, you know, the way that they treat you. And, you know, I came here to be really quiet. My neighbors have been very responsive. I quit riding a motorcycle up and down. So that kind of killed the beef, you know. So right. I started to fit in, and I love it here. So,
well, you know, Mojo, a 26-year longstanding medical condition that has caused you severe pain led you to a critical point. Using pills to deal with pain issues, it's a part of your journey. Tell us about your struggle.
Well, you know, I had a thing that it was natural. It was with my teeth and my shoulders. And at a very early age, I started being prescribed codeine. You know, in fact, I have a song called Codeine where I say, Mr. Doctor, Mr. Doctor, what about me? You know, I'm asking about, you know, what's happening. And especially at that time, there wasn't like an awareness of addiction or anything. Like, so I never really understood what was happening to me until it was long too late. And then that BS about it's not habit forming and blah, blah, blah. When you don't have the money, they just write you the script to get you out of the office.
Right.
And so that, believe it or not, one foot in the other, 26 years.